Hello and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope everybody had a awesome, blessed weekend. Lots of stuff for you guys, as always. First thing I wanted to touch base on, since before we get rolling here today, this is pretty interesting on Saturday, is a lot of people have had, you know, they've been questioning whether or not this was supposedly an accident. But if you guys saw in Hawaii on Saturday, one of the emergency alert networks that go out on your phone, which I'm sure everybody has gotten this before on new phones, whether it's an alert of a weather thing or a vehicle that somebody's trying to look for, a silver alert, an amber alert, all this ridiculous stuff. Well, basically, they woke up on Saturday to an alert in the entire state of Hawaii that said, and then, granted, this came up on everybody's phone first thing in the morning on Saturday, said emergency alert, ballistic missile threat inbound to Hawaii, seek immediate shelter. This is not a drill, which completely scrambled the entire state into chaos for a short period of time until they realized that it was a mistake. They've now said that the employee in question has been temporarily reassigned with their emergency operations centers pending the outcome of the internal investigation. And what's odd to me is they're saying here now that actually the worker hit the wrong button during a shift change, which I find rather odd because that was a very specific alert that went out, and I have a hard time believing that was an accidental button push that somebody sent out, Dad. But I just kind of wanted to touch base on that because I know everybody's gotten those alerts before, and I have to imagine that had to be pretty doggone creepy for the first couple minutes until everybody realized that was not a drill and everybody's phones blew up at once saying they had an inbound missile threat, Dad. What do you think about that?
It was a complete and total psychops. Back in 1940, the CIA did this, I can tell you right now, the CIA did all of this as a beta test in Hawaii, because what's happened is they've pushed the media narrative now so much about an inbound missile from North Korea, they wanted to know if the United States people would actually believe it if they issued out an alert. They wanted to know what would happen if they did it and how much ensuing, how should I say this, the discussion and anarchy and chaos and everything else would end up happening because of that type of a missile. That's why they stopped it, you know, within a few minutes after they initially sent it out, because they want to see people actually believe it. Now, you see, well, how in the world do you think that, Ted? Well, here's why. Back in 1938, you guys stay with me now, the War of the Worlds was an episode of the American radio drama anthology series called the Mercury Theater on Air, and it was performed as a Halloween episode of the series October the 30th, 1938, and aired over the Columbia Broadcasting System, that's CBS Radio Network, directed and narrated by actor and future filmmaker Orson Welles, who got the nod from Hollywood after this. The episode was an adaptation of H.G. Wells' novel, The War of the Worlds, from 1898, it became famous for allegedly causing mass panic, although the scale of the panic is disputed as the program had relatively few listeners. That's a lie. Millions and millions of people panicked, and here's what happened. The first two-thirds of the one-hour broadcast was uninterrupted, no commercials, and it was presented as a series of simulated news bulletins. The first news update interrupted a program of dance music to report that a series of odd explosions had been spotted on Mars, which was soon followed thereafter by a seemingly unrelated report of an unusual object falling on a farm in Grover's Hill, New Jersey. Martians emerged from the object and attacked using a heat ray during the next interruption, which was followed by a rapid series, no commercials, of news reports describing the devastating alien invasion taking place across the United States and the world. The illusion of realism was further because the Mercury Theater on Air was a sustaining show without commercial interruptions. And the first break in the program came almost 30 minutes into the broadcast after the entire world, planet, United States, was a complete full uproar. Now, this was done on purpose by the CIA to try to figure out what would happen in the event that we were under attack in the United States, and the news bulletins were presented as factual data. In other words, they didn't start off saying, by the way, the next hour is going to be a big joke, we're going to play this little game with you guys, see what happens. It was explosions on Mars, news break, next commercial. By the way, something has landed in Grover's Field. Newsbreak. Oh, my God, the Martians have landed. They've got ray guns. They're killing people. Oh, my God, look what they're doing. Then it went straight live to additional news breaks, and it was an adaptation of that book, War of the Worlds, that you saw with Tom Cruise that he did a few years ago. Now, these idiots already did this. This is the same thing with the CIA, the OSS. They wanted to see through the Office of Naval Intelligence what would happen to the population had we had a supposed real-world invasion from another planet or from another entity or whatever, and they wanted to see how much panic they could ensue. This was a complete and total beta test, and it was used for years and years and years. It was promoted to the Tavistock Institute because they wanted to see what they could do and how they could psychop the entire population of the planet. That's why when I see something like this, we have an inbound nuclear ballistic missile, Amber Alert, all your cell phones go off. You're like, oh my God, this isn't a joke. This is not as real. This is really happening. Same thing they did in 1938. This is another test, Austin, to see how effective they've been with all of the lies they've told us about North Korea and how much we're willing to believe it. What do you think?
I think you're absolutely right. It's the same thing I thought from the beginning, because first off, the pre-scripted idea that they're trying to push, that basically they already had this sitting there and the guy accidentally pushed the send button on it, to me is a complete total fallacy, because with most of the emergency network systems, this stuff may be pre-scripted, they may have pre-scripted text, but there's difference, there's fail-safe, so this stuff doesn't just go out by accident. It's not just an accidentally somebody hit their elbow on the button and this thing blasted to everybody's phone system. It happened specifically first thing in the morning. It was like 8:05 a.m. so nobody was at work, even if they worked on Saturday, because most stuff doesn't open till 9. Everybody was at their homes, or everybody was out eating breakfast, or everybody was, you know, getting ready for in the morning. So it caught everybody off guard. This is what they love to do. This is why they always do a SWAT team raid at 3-4 a.m. first thing in the morning, while everybody's still sleeping. They catch you off guard. Same thing with this. They knew everybody was going to be awake. They didn't do this at 12 o'clock or 1 o'clock at night while everybody was sleeping. Everybody's like, oh, another stupid Amber Alert. I'm not even going to check my phone till in the morning. They did it right when they knew everybody was going to be waking or already awake. And they've specifically geared the American population to suspect a nuclear strike from North Korea now. They've done this. They've preached this rhetoric for months now. Oh, Kim Jong-un, he's got nukes. Oh, he's going to send a ballistic nuke into Alaska and Hawaii. Oh, any day now, we could go to World War III and he's going to nuke us. Oh, it's going to happen now. It's going to happen. And then all of a sudden, accidentally, Hawaii puts this false news alert out. I don't buy it for one single bit that this is on accident, Dad. I think you're absolutely 100% right. This is a beta test to see how everybody was going to respond. They specifically did it in Hawaii to keep it compartmentalized. They
That's
didn't
right.
do it in California or another state. So all of a sudden, everybody goes, what the heck is going on? It's much easier to do this on a very small island scale to keep it tight-knit. You're not going to have it leaking into the other states and everybody trying to verify it all of a sudden. Remember, Hawaii, I mean, I've been to Hawaii before. I mean, it's an hour, multiple islands, but it's one, you know, island with multiple islands with it. It's not very big. They don't have much support out there. I mean, they have military base and stuff like that, but other than that, they're pretty much on their own with everything. So all of a sudden, you got to think about it. Waking up first thing in the morning, you're eating your eggs, you're drinking your Fit Food shake, or at least that's what I do in the morning, and all of a sudden, your phone goes off, your dad's phone goes off, or your wife's phone goes off, your son's phone. Everybody's phone go off in the entire house. There's an alert, and all of a sudden everybody pulls it up and says, ballistic missile threat inbound to Hawaii. Seek shelter. This is not a drill. Whoa. Whoa. That gets your attention really quick, and of course, Hawaii completely panicked, which I cannot say I probably not would have done either if I would have lived out there, and they got their test, and they saw that everybody is primed in the United States to expect a nuclear strike to come in now from North Korea, and their propaganda, their rhetoric has been successful, Dad. So yeah, that's exactly what I think happened out there this weekend.
Well, it's like that one movie that Patrick Swayze did years ago, in which the Russians had come into the United States. I guess what was the name of that
Red
movie?
Red Dawn.
Red Dawn, and they did a remake of that with the North Koreans coming in just a few years ago, again, to further program the psyche. And what we have to understand, guys, is this. These guys understand how the human mind works. They understand that because of Tavistock. Because remember, Tavistock, it was through the Office of Naval Intelligence. It was through the shell shocking that happened in World War I. It was through the German concentration camps. It was all of this stuff was being worked out 100 years ago on how to manipulate the human psyche And we talked about that on Friday with Chuck Baldwin with the Bible with the Bible that basically has all the notes in it. It'll come to me in a second. And the credit that what's the name of that Bible, Austin? You remember we talked about it on Friday? Oh, come on, guys. This is not a scripted show. That's why I'm doing this. I've got about 10 things I want to talk about right now. It'll come to me in a second.
You got Schofield?
No, thank you. The Schofield Bible, they did the same thing.
Okay,
yeah. And it's taken 170 years to do that. And one other thing I want to talk about on this is respect and admiration. Now, I got to break this for just a second because I covered this in our prayer time with the kids this morning. I want to cover it right now with the listeners. And I want to make you understand something as far as there's a difference. Respect and admiration can be both mutually exclusive. They can be. In other words, what does that mean? Well, that means you can respect somebody but not admire them, and you can admire somebody but not respect them. It goes back and forth. And so it's like with Donald Trump right now, with everything that happened last week. I respect him because he's in the presidency of the United States and because we prayed for him. I have no admiration for him whatsoever. Period. I don't have any admiration for him because of his womanizing and all the stuff he's been involved in. I don't admire that at all. Now, I respect him. I respect him as an individual who ran a good campaign and all of the other stuff, but I don't admire him because he's not done what he told us he was going to do in many of the areas of his campaign. And I could go on and on and on. And that's something you guys can teach your children is what's the difference between respect and admiration. Like Dr. Mark Rutland, former president of ORU, former president of Southeastern Bible College, Bible University. I respect and I admire him because his life has been such an example for so many people. It's kind of like this, and I've told you this before on the air, I'm going to say this again. The anointing will take you there if you're a Christian. The character will keep you there. In other words, a lot of people have the ability to speak. A lot of people have the ability to move a crowd. A lot of people have the ability to become very successful financially as preachers and to take a lot of money from a lot of people. But then pretty soon you find out they're having affairs with these different people, or they're homosexuals, or they're gay. And all of a sudden you find out the speaking ability will take them there, the anointing takes them there, but the character, they don't have any character, and they lose the ability they had, or they lose their following or lose their audience because their character is pretty much non-existent. So guys, remember that. Remember who you want to listen to, whether you respect them, whether you admire them, or whatever. I know right now, we talked about this earlier today, another person who sells supplements, you know, online on the alternative news media got busted again last week, again, for having lead in their products as far as being tested and found to have lead. Now, what we do at Health Masters, with everything that has our label on it, now, if we have a product that doesn't have our label on it, we can't do this. But if you see a label with our name on it, with our face on it, etc., we have every one of those products and all of the raws put through a spectrograph and to make sure they don't have heavy metal contamination, because you don't know what's in them until you run a spectrograph on them. And what that does, that's a machine that converts everything to gas, and then it puts a graph out and it tells you exactly what was in that particular product. This is what we do with all of the products we have at Health Masters. Now, another thing that a lot of people do, and they sell a lot of these online, are tinctures. You say, well, what's a tincture? Well, you can take an extract of a product. Let's say you take a tincture of a lobelia, and we don't sell these things. And you take, you know, a pound of lobelia, and you make yourself, and you still buy it for $20, and you make yourself, you know, 5,000 bottles of this tincture, and then you end up having like $1 per bottle in cost, and you sell the bottle for $50. And you have these companies that come out, and they say, we're going to give you a 50% discount today or a 75% discount today, but they're selling that product for $100 a bottle. They got $1 in it, so they sell it to you for $50. They're making a 50-fold profit, 50 times 5,000 or 50,000% profit. That's what happens a lot of times with people online who manufacture stuff or go with people who don't have products that are properly tested. So, guys, be really careful with what you buy online. The other thing, too, with Health Masters, and you know this, guys, if you don't like the product, you just send it back to us. We give you immediate store credit or a refund. I mean, I think the refund is good for like 90 days. The store credit is good for 90 days. So we give you a chance to use the entire product. And if you don't like it, just send it back and we'll refund your money. So be very, very careful who you're getting your nascent iodine from, who you're getting your D3K2 from, and be very careful with tinctures. I don't recommend them. We don't sell them, and that's why. By the way, the FBI documents contain evidence now that the Las Vegas shooter, and as we call this out, Stephen Paddock, was an arms dealer. A federal judge has ordered the release of the FBI court documents on the Las Vegas shooting. The suspected shooter, Stephen Paddock, who, by the way, did not do the shooting, in my opinion, sent emails to an account he owned offering to sell automatic weapons. These documents also show that he did frequently travel to Phoenix, Arizona, which was the location of the ATF field office involved in the Mexican gun-running operation Fast and Furious. Records also show that when he flew to Phoenix, he would rent a car with a large trunk on the same day drive back to Vegas. Everything points out to the possibility that Paddock was a gun runner, which ends up telling us why he had so much money in the bank. Also from Las Vegas, the Las Vegas coroner performed autopsies on only half of the 58 victims. This one should really alert you guys, and I'll
tell
you why.
There you go.
Citizen journalist Laura Loomer reports that only half of the 58 victims in the Las Vegas shooting were examined by the coroner, which likely is illegal. The reason this is important is that proper autopsy would provide information about types of bullets, weapons, and trajectories that might prove that there are and were multiple shooters. The essence of this report is basically being reported online now, and you can look it up under Clark County Coroner's Office fails to autopsy Las Vegas shooting victims. Guys, number one, I don't believe that there were 58 deaths. How about that? I already talked about this multiple times. We don't know how many deaths there were. All we know is that we have staged video of people running around looking like they're dead, people taking a pulse, trying to get medevac to come get them, and we know we had a staged rehearsal, staged event at this shooting. We have absolutely no idea what the real body count was, and now we're saying it may be as low as 27, 28, 29 victims. Guys, what was the real numbers? Who in the world did all this? And why are they lying to us again, Austin? And we called all of this months ago when this happened. What do you think?
Yeah, well, I already figured Paddock. You know, I mean, we figured he was involved with something with the CIA as far as with gun running. I mean, just for the fact when you pull up one of his planes that was in his name, has been in Langley, Virginia for the last 2 years at essentially a CIA compound. That right there should obviously tell you that he was involved with a lot more than what they tried to tell us. And yes, the autopsy, that's one of the biggest things that I talked about back when, right after this happened in October, because I said, if you have a true coroner that's actually unbiased, they're going to do a real autopsy on the almost 60 people that were shot, he's going to be able to tell whether or not these individuals were shot with a 5.56 from a 300 to 400 feet elevated position.
That's right.
And 300, 400, 500 yards out. You're going to be able to tell that because, I mean, you can pull ballistics and everything. If you start seeing 5.56 rounds that are arced in the body and they're going different directions when they cave, or if you're even seeing that caliber, you're going to be looking at the exit wounds. All that stuff is going to be a factor in the autopsy. And you're also going to see consistency. A lot of the same people that were, a lot of the people that were injured and killed are going to have the same types of gunshot wounds, the same types of channel wounds, the same type of penetration. So you're going to see a lot of consistency at that distance. If the guy was shooting from a fixed position on the 32nd floor for 10 minutes at a time, whatever he was doing, whatever the mainstream narrative was, majority of all the wounds are going to be very, very similar. The channel wounds are going to be the same. The angles are going to be the same. The penetration is going to be the same. All going to be the same. So now you're saying that you're only autopsying half the people. Well, that makes me think that only half the people died, which is a very strong possibility, because as we've seen in a lot of the videos before, not only do I think there were multiple shooters involved, but there was so much chaos and there were so many videos where I saw, I didn't see 60 people on the ground, and then they give the number of 500 people were injured. They've never, not once did they disclose, were those gunshot wounds? Were those broken ankles? Were those twisted sprains? Were those people being trampled? Were those people jumping a fence and tearing the inside of their thigh on the top of a chain link fence? What were all those injuries? Were those 500 people that were specifically shot with a 5.56 caliber from 300 feet up, from 300 to 400 meters out? That's one thing we've never seen at all. And that's been my biggest question on the whole entire incident, is there's been no consistency and there's been no disclosure of what really happened. Now we're finding out that the autopsy, they only did half the people. Well, that makes me think, instead of the coroner breaking the law, that makes me think there were only 20-something people that were killed in that entire incident, which would make a lot more sense as we saw the body count continue to grow like a doggone slot machine number on the news. It was like 20 people injured, 25 people killed, 30 people killed, 350 people injured and 35 people killed, 40 people killed and 400 people injured, 50 people killed and 500 people injured. I'm like, golly, I mean, it's like it 12 hours later and the numbers keep rolling up like they're doggone playing slots. Didn't make any sense to me. So this is something that we all need to be looking at and everybody needs to be monitoring. As I've said for months now, we need answers on this. We need truth on this. I am past the point of accepting these ridiculous false flag events that everybody likes to call truth and fact and have reasons behind them to try and take our firearms. As I've already said before, the SHARE Act, which was going to completely pull suppressors off the 1934 NFA list, was being voted on the end of that week that the shooting happened in Vegas, and now that entire SHARE Act has been shelved. There are way too many reasons for that entire shooting that benefited the anti-gun globalist movement, and I do not want to see a lot of our rights taken away, especially on the pretext of a false flag shooting. It's bad enough if it really happened. And if it really occurred, if that many people died and it happened and they try to take our gun rights away, that's horrific. But the fact that they're trying to take them away on a lie makes it even that much more difficult for me to even accept anything that they're trying to do, Dad. So, yeah, I'm really I'm glad we're starting to see some of this information come to light. But as I've said and you said before, this whole thing, in my opinion, has been set up from the beginning, and it is not what we thought it was. Just like they want to tell everybody in Hawaii that there's incoming nuclear missiles and this is not a drill, and then a couple minutes later, oh, sorry, we pushed the wrong button. I will not be surprised if more and more stuff comes out now and they start doing damage control. Oh, we got the numbers wrong. Oh, we got this wrong now. Because the truth is, if we can really get a lot of the people that were truly involved in this, that are unbiased, like the coroner and people to come out now and say, I only did 25 autopsies. I don't know where the other 30 bodies are supposed to be at that I supposedly did autopsies on. If more people like this come out there and start telling the truth and we start seeing the real news about this, more of us are going to start waking up and more people are going to start saying, hey, I don't believe this mainstream narrative anymore. I know something else is going on. And that's what we need the most right now, is sparks in the minds of the patriot constitutional Americans to say, this is not something we're going to accept. We're not going to take this. The same way that after that false flag Sandy Hook shooting happened in 2012, we went out and bought tens of millions of rifles and literally hundreds of millions of ammunition rounds for all those rifles in a fully defiant maneuver to show the globalists that, hey, you guys may want to pull this stunt. You may want to pull a false flag event. But while we're at it, we're going to go buy 50 million more ARs, and we're going to buy another 150 million rounds of ammunition just because we can. That's the resolve the American population has to keep showing the globalists, that we're not going to sit back and take it. We're not going to sit back idly by and allow them to completely devastate and take over our country and take away our freedoms, especially under the pretexts of lies, Dad.
Absolutely right, and that's why the United States is no longer being run as a constitutional republic. It's being run as a corporation. And Deborah Bear has talked about that in length. That's why Donald Trump is not in control. That's why he's a figurehead. That's why he can do a little bit, but he can't do everything. I mean, Robert David Steele came on the show after that happened out there in Vegas and told us that Trump knew about it a week in advance and couldn't stop it. I mean, can you believe that? I mean, whether you believe that or not, I mean, I'm asking a question. I mean, that's nuts that the president of the United States is that powerless to control it. Now let's change topics. Dr. Tony Bark is a really good medical doctor who practices alternative natural medicine, and she's also MD. And here's a quote that I want to cover with you guys today. She says, quote, "The kids that come to me from other practices and are fully vaccinated often are the kids, well, they are the kids in my practice with asthma, panic disorders, OCD, pandas, autism, and Asperger's. My kids who never have been vaccinated in my practice, I don't see any of these issues. I don't have one child who has not been vaccinated who also has asthma or food allergies or Asperger's or autism or Crohn's or ulcerative colitis. Not one." Wow. Guys, think through what I just said and what in the world is going on. Now, a lot of you are going, what in the world is a panda? That's what I did, okay, because I wasn't familiar with that term. Panda is hypothesized to the immune disorder that results in variable combination of tics, obsessions, compulsions, and other symptoms that may be severe enough to qualify, such as chronic tic disorder, Tourette syndrome, and all kinds of other disorders. And the term PANDA actually stands for pediatric autoimmune neuropsychiatric disorders associated with streptococcal infections. That's why they call them pandas. I can see why they're calling them pandas. So all of these people getting all of these immunizations are having all of these problems, and this doctor comes out and says not one patient who has not received vaccines that she's ever seen has had any of these diseases. What do you think about that, Austin?
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me at all. I mean, this is something that once you start doing the research on this, once you really start looking into this, you start realizing that all this stuff's related. All of it's related, especially with these doggone vaccines. Like I told you guys on the show the other day, I've had multiple friends now that have kids that have had their children come down with hand, foot, and mouth disease literally within a month of getting their 12-month vaccinations. Both times. Actually, three times now. But two families I was very close with, was personally involved in it within a month of having the vaccination, the 12-month vaccination, the giant shot party that they have. Going there, let's just see how many needles, how many vaccinations, how much garbage we can inject in this tiny little 12-month-old baby that doesn't even have a developed immune system yet. Let's see what we can do. Let's see how bad we can impair their immune system. That 12-month shot schedule, just so you guys know which one I'm talking about, that right there, within a month, three completely unrelated families, all the children came down with hand, foot, and mouth disease. Like I said, two of them I was personally involved with, very close friends with them, and nobody wanted to admit it. They said, I don't know what happened. I even brought up to my pediatrician after we went back to the doctor when he came down with this. They told me it had nothing to do with the vaccines. I said, okay, so I have my family right now with Hunter, and I have another close friend of mine who's got a son named Troy. Who's a little bit younger than Hunter. Neither one of us have vaccinated our children at all. Zero vaccinations. Both of our kids, both of our boys, have had zero issues except for a couple minor colds, little issues here and there with normal stuff like that. And no hand, foot, and mouth. They both exposed to animals. We have animals at the house. We've had chickens at the house. We have dogs at the house. No issues at all. The same other kids that had their vaccinations on their 12-month schedule both came down with the exact same issues a month after their vaccinations. You can't tell me that's unrelated anymore, guys. This is beyond going to the point of sticking our head in the sand and going, I don't believe it's related. It's completely unrelated. You're just conspiracy theorists. These vaccines don't do anything whatsoever. They're perfectly safe because my pediatrician said they're safe. No, duh, they tell you they're safe. They're paid to tell you they're safe. They literally get bonuses on how many kids they have fully vaccinated under their care. They've already proven this now with Blue Cross Blue Shield. $40,000, $80,000 yearly bonuses, and it goes up on how many kids they can have in the hundreds that are fully vaccinated. They're never going to admit you that the vaccines are causing any issues as long as they're getting tens of thousands of dollars a year and bonus kickbacks from the pharmaceutical drugs, which they run through the insurance companies like Blue Cross Blue Shield. Why would you do that? If your sole goal is to make large amounts of cash and you don't care who you hurt, you don't care what families you devastate, and you're that naive into thinking that the doctors and the medical establishment and the vaccine manufacturers have your best care in mind, why in the world are you going to turn that down? If that's your mindset, why in the world are you going to say, well, I'd rather not have my pediatrician kids, you know, the kids that are underneath me, I'd rather not have them vaccinated because I don't like $80,000 bonuses. I don't like that. Are you kidding me, guys? Come on. This is what they do. This is what they've been pushing for so many years now, and they finally have it in the full scale. They have everybody either scared or embarrassed not to vaccinate your kids. That's really the two options that you see here. You have the one group of families that they hear about children going unvaccinated, and all of a sudden they go, oh, well, if I don't vaccinate my children, they're going to come down with mumps or the measles or some crazy disease that I don't know about, so we need to shoot them up with all these shots. And then you have the other parents that are almost embarrassed because they go somewhere, and if anybody brings up vaccinations, they say, well, your kid's not vaccinated. They get ostracized, and they do sometimes. I've dealt with it before. Parents, family goes, you don't vaccinate? Oh, this is a crime against humanity. You say, I know it's a crime against humanity. You reproducing more. Don't talk to me. I'm not even going to bother arguing with you anymore. That's my whole take on it. If you're going to sit there and be that naive and believe everything that you're told from the doctors and not even do your own research, I can't help you anymore. But if you are in the boat that maybe you're embarrassed on it and you're not really sure how to handle the situation, or you're kind of scared, like the two options I just gave you, the main ones, then read about it. Do your research and figure out what you really need to do. Don't just go on the premise that your pediatrician says you have to do this. You do not have to do anything. Nobody can force you to take a hypodermic needle into your child's body and inject it full of toxins. Nobody can forcibly do that to you, yet at least, but I personally never think they're going to get to the point of forced vaccinations. What they're going to do is mandatory vaccinations and take away certain things that you have the ability to do, like they've done in California now. If you don't get your shots, you can't go to daycare. You can't go to preschool. You can't go to regular school. They take away public school funding as far as the ability to be able to go to school. That's what they do now, is they take away the perks that they give you if you don't follow their orders. But I do not think we're going to ever reach a point where we're going to have the CDC coming to your house, holding you down, handcuffing you, and forcibly vaccinating you. Because as Dad and I have said before, when they're putting stuff like aborted fetal tissue in the vaccines, in my opinion, from their sadistic mentality that a lot of these globalists are at the top of these vaccine companies are at, they want you to submit and take these vaccines knowingly. They want you to make the choice. That way they can sit back and say, you let us do this to you, buddy. We didn't forcibly hold you down and vaccinate you. We asked you if we could do it, and you said yes. Well, you told me I couldn't put my child in public school if I didn't get the vaccination. You didn't have to put him in public school, bud. We gave you the option. We told you it was mandatory if you wanted to go in school. You chose to voluntarily inject yourself or your child with these vaccines. That's the way these guys operate. You have to look at their background and what they do and how they have to tell you what they're going to do before they do it to you. And they already know the information's out there. The truth is already all over the internet about what this stuff does to the body, especially young living bodies that are growing, like little infants and children. All you have to do is plug in the research and do your own research and make your own decision, and don't follow the lies of the mainstream media and a lot of these pediatricians, Deb.
I couldn't have said that any better, because remember, this is called lesser magic with these guys, or yep, white magic. They have to see, they believe that the karma on the other side, that's what they call it. Don't yell at me because I'm saying karma. To me, it's just the law of sowing and reaping. They believe the karma, this is what they call it, on the other side is so bad if they don't let us know in advance what they're doing to us and we don't agree to it by not saying no, that they don't want to deal with that for eternity. So they can kill you as many times as they want, do as much stuff as they want to you, but they got to let you know what they're going to do. And we've talked about this before. By the way, panic spreads after a 9-year-old girl dies of a new eye-bleeding fever that many fear may even be more dangerous than the Black Death. The girl died of a viral disease in Uganda. This is like Ebola is what it does, sparking fears of fresh health crisis. A health team rushed to put her body into a bag and decontaminate her house. It is feared the disease could kill 40% of those who have been infected by it. Guys, they don't stop working at Fort Detrick. These boys continue to do that over and over again. By the way, we talked about cortisol many times, and here's another article. Stress hormones are now found to make cancer resistant to treatment. This is cortisol. This is one of the reasons that I tell you guys, if you've had cancer, don't drink coffee, because coffee elevates cortisol. There are many things that drive cancer: poor diet, coffee, chemical and radiation exposures, certain infections, and but stress, however, is a major contributing factor that is often completely and totally overlooked. New research, however, now sheds light on just how critically important the physiological consequences of stress are on cancer cell progression. So guys, we've talked about this in detail, so I'm not going to read you this article because it's going to be too complicated from a medical standpoint, but let me tell you what it does. When you elevate cortisol in the body, it decreases your digestive enzymes because your body's being put into a flight or fight syndrome. In other words, if you have a lion chasing you, you don't think about eating dinner, you think about running. So what happens is the body shunts the blood to your outer extremities to make you run faster. It pulls blood from the digestion. It stops making digestive enzymes. That's why when you get mad about stuff, you get an upset stomach or you get a knot in your stomach because your body doesn't digest it. Now, the problem is if you elevate your body with cortisol with huge amounts of coffee on an ongoing basis, the body never digests this food properly because the elevated cortisol prevents that. When that happens, your body goes into a nutrient deficit in which your system is chronically depleted of vitamins and minerals because you simply can't digest them. Then after a year, 2 years, 3 years, 4 years, after you burn up your, quote, reserve energy and your mitochondria no longer have the ability to produce energy because they don't have the nutrients anymore, and your body's robbed from Peter to pay Paul in order to continue to keep you alive. What ends up happening, you get sicker and sicker, and you come down with heart disease, you come down with diabetes, you come down with cancer. This is why bitterness and anger and rage is so bad, because when you're angry and you're bitter towards someone else, what ends up happening is you don't forgive them, and you stay angry on the inside. I've got people that have done me so wrong, I mean, you wouldn't even believe it, guys. And you know what I do for them? I pray for them. I pray that God blesses them. I tell people, hey, so-and-so did me wrong. That's okay. They're doing the best they can. I've forgiven them because I'm not going to allow my feelings towards them to affect my health, because I'm not going to do that. So many people have done so many other people wrong in families that there's generational anger. I mean, my grandfather did such and such a so-and-so, and I'm mad. Granddaddy's dead, okay? He's been dead now for 40 years, and you're still ticked off. It's like my brother in Iowa. When my dad and his mom got divorced, and my dad married my mom, met my mom, married her, and we were born. This happened like in 1950. And I talked to him a couple years ago. This is like 70 years ago, right? And he's still unbelievably mad this happened. I mean, just to the point of just red-faced with hysteria, angry because of this. Guys, that's not what God called us to do. I mean, if your parents had a problem and they got divorced, what does that have to do with you? That's your parents. That's their marriage. Why does that have to affect you? And why do you have to take sides on all this? Well, my dad was so-and-so. Well, so what? That's between him and your mom. Well, my mom did such and such. Whatever, man. That's your mom, man. Just be chill out. That's why the Bible tells us to respect our parents so we'll go well with you and you live long. Guys, don't allow a family member or somebody who's got you mad to cause this giant rift with you and your family and to elevate your cortisol and massively increase your risks of heart disease, diabetes, or cancer that the research is now proving is exactly what happens when we stay angry at other people. Walk in forgiveness. The Bible says, the Lord's Prayer, forgive them the way we ask God to forgive them. We forgive the way forgive us the way we forgive other people. Guys, it's so important to get that. It's so important to walk in love and forgiveness. And so what that such and such did you wrong? Who cares? Such and such doesn't even think about you probably anymore. And all you're doing is being mad at such and such is just feeding that doggone thing that they did to you all those years ago. It doesn't mean anything. It's not worth it. It's not worth what it does to you from an energy standpoint. People go, well, my ex-wife did this to me or my ex-husband did this to me. Guys, the term here is ex. What difference does it make? Just walk away, walk in love, and just say, you know what, guys? Not everything that happened with my ex-wife or my ex-husband was bad. I loved him enough at one point to marry him. So why don't you dwell on those things and not dwell on the bad things and just learn to get along with them, especially if children are involved, and not badmouth each other in front of the kids. Super, super important information, guys. What do you think, Austin?
No, you're absolutely right. It's very important, especially when it comes down to digestion, because that's if you ever notice, like you said, when you start getting stressed out, even if you're not necessarily mad about something, but you may be anxious about something or you're extremely busy at work, that's why a lot of times you hear people go, yeah, man, I was so busy today. I was so worked up and stressed out trying to get stuff done. I didn't eat all day because you had no appetite. It's because of the cortisol. That's what you have to make sure what Dad is talking about. You do your best to prevent that from being an ongoing thing all the time.
That's
time.
Right.
Here's another article now that just came out now from the UC Davis Health Study. They directly link between gut bacteria, diet, and chronic liver inflammation. We're starting to see more and more now in the United States that chronic liver inflammation is becoming more and more prevalent, primarily because of the notorious damage that's done to the liver in the West, all the way from the alcohol to the large amounts of fat to the huge amounts of carbs and sugar and preservatives, antibiotics, the processed salt. I mean, the Western diet in the United States is absolutely horrific. That's why, I mean, we're leading the world when it comes to heart disease, diabetes, cancer, and especially obesity. What they did was now in this study, it showed that probiotics and bile acid receptor can be useful in helping to prevent liver inflammation as well as treat and prevent more serious liver diseases. For the study, the mice were fed a typical Western diet, very high in sugar and fat. Not surprisingly, the mice resulted in massive liver inflammation, especially in the male mice studied. Interesting to note, the liver inflammation was found to be even more pronounced in the male mice that were lacking in FXR, the X receptor, a key bile acid receptor. So in the mice that were treated antibiotics as well, bile acid and gut bacteria profiles were changed due to the effects of the antibiotics in eliminating the bile acid generating bacteria. The researchers showed that the reduced hepatic inflammation from the antibiotics decreased bile acids, especially in males. In addition, the study results suggest that the FXR antagonist and probiotics could help to regulate the important bodily process. This in turn could prove effective solutions for treating as well as preventing liver inflammation and more serious liver problems. They said there is no doubt that liver health and gut microbe are linked, and bile acid and microbial imbalance are also closely related. Keep in mind that the liver receives as much as 70% of its blood supply from the intestinal area. And this is why so many times we tell everybody a healthy balance of gut bacteria is so important. That's why we recommend probiotics. So what they found was basically in these mice, when the gut bacteria was disrupted through a bad diet and through basically antibiotics and other very common things that we eat all the time, it caused a very serious issue in causing liver inflammation. Now people are going to go, well, I eat fairly clean. You know, I don't take antibiotics hardly ever. I'm not very sick and this and that. Well, are you eating certified organic meat? Are you eating chicken that has antibiotics, or turkey, or beef, or eggs that are coming from antibiotic-fed chicken? Well, I don't know. That's something you have to look at, because so many times I talk to people and they think they're eating okay or fairly decent or kind of clean, and they may be to an extent, but are they eating non-GMO? Are they getting food that's sprayed down with glyphosate directly or indirectly? Are they eating eggs that chickens are being fed antibiotic grain to? And see, we figured out a lot of this by trial and error, and also, too, we found that when we had chickens. Chickens are very hard to keep healthy all the time, so you have to figure out how to keep them healthy without antibiotics. You got to use like colloidal silver and other stuff like that, and natural stuff to keep them healthy, to make sure the eggs that they produce are very, very clean and healthy as well. So the probiotics are really, we're finding more and more the connection with the gut and the brain, the connection with all this stuff throughout the body really results in the health of the intestines and the probiotic, at least to a large extent. That's why we have two different probiotics. We have the probiotic regular one that we have, the DF. And we had the probiotic 100 billion. The 100 billion is probably one of the most advanced probiotics I've ever seen on the market. You see a lot of companies, they say, oh, we have, you know, 2 billion probiotic, you know, CFU, colony forming units. And you know, okay, that's a decent amount. That's a good base amount. The one we have is 100 billion CFUs per capsule in a nitrogen blister packet. That is one of the highest quality probiotics I've ever seen made on the market, and hardly anybody I have found has been able to touch it as far as quality and where we have it produced. It is very, very good at getting the healthy bacteria back in the body and really helping with digestion, with liver health, with brain health, with everything. All the stuff we're finding out now ties back more and more to the gut health and the probiotics in the system, Deb.
Everything's interconnected via the interdimensional interface that we have with God. Our entire body's a giant antenna. I mean, all the way from the head to the brain to the pineal gland to the heart to the energy field, you know, around the brain, the energy magnetic field around the heart to the intestinal organisms, the colony forming units and the things that we have in our intestinal talk. Everything talks to everything else in our body. Every cell is interconnected. And when we start damaging one part of the body, it affects all the rest of it. Now, our bodies are so incredibly made. I mean, what they are, we're basically an uplink to God's what we are. Just we're an antenna. We're a bio antenna uplink. And we're living in this skin suit. We're spiritual beings temporarily being put into a skin suit. I mean, this is not our real world. This is not the real thing. This is not reality that we're in. This is not it. That's what the Bible says. We're just passing through here. This is not our deal. Guys, that's what we have to understand. That's why God made us the way he made us. It's amazing how he made us. It's absolutely, that's why it didn't just happen by some kind of piece of, from lightning hitting the rock, which they want you to believe. I mean, the liver is so important. That's what these silly evolutionists believe. The liver is so important. It has the hepatic artery going to it, and it has the portal vein going to it. I mean, and that's why it ends up swelling when you get older, because of all the junk you're in. Now, one thing you can really do to bring down the belly and bring down the liver fat and everything else is use a tablespoon of MCT oil made from coconut oil. Straight coconut oil will not do this, by the way. That's the MCT or coconut oil. We carry it at the website. I know me personally, I've been taking it now like a tablespoon a day in my protein shake in the mornings. And it has really reduced my waistline. Now, I didn't really have a big waist to start with, but it's really coming down. I'm burning body fat like crazy, and my liver is going, it's getting smaller and smaller, which makes my waist get smaller and smaller, and it burns body fat, the belly fat, which is both internal and external. So you have to really, really, really work on this stuff when you get older, when you're a guy, because of the liver, because of what it does and how much stuff it has to process on an ongoing basis. By the way, the Facebook drug dealers. Now, here's this is interesting from the Daily Mail, how cannabis and cocaine is being openly peddled to children on social media. Scores of criminals are freely touting for business on Facebook and other sites. Many are offering cannabis for sale, while one dealer even offered to sell cocaine. Social media sites were accused of failing to shut down blatant law-breaking sites. Calls for tougher sanctions over failure. Tech giants, failure to stop criminality. Guys, here's what blows my mind with Facebook and with YouTube and all the rest of this stuff. You know, you're in here talking about health. You're in here talking about nutrition. You're giving them alternative news. They shut you down in a New York second if they don't like what you're saying. Period. It just does. It shuts you down. But here we have Facebook actually sponsoring drug dealers. They're shipping this stuff probably from other countries in unmarked bags and batches to these kids that are on Facebook ordering this stuff. This is complete insanity to me, Austin. That's why monitor your children, what they watch on social media, and what they do, guys. It's so important that everybody understands that, Austin. What do you think?
You're absolutely right. And this is the problem with the – when you start going in and you start making compounds like cannabis scheduled one, here's the issue with that is obviously as we see now and we've seen before – when you have prohibition on stuff, it's very difficult to control it, especially in a digital age now. So when people say, you know, oh, I don't want them to get exposed to this, I don't want them to get exposed to that, it's on Facebook now, guys. It's on Facebook, and they're slinging dope on Facebook like that. So you don't even know where they're shipping this stuff out of. You have to be more proactive in trying to monitor and raise your kids instead of just saying, ban everything. If you ban everything, nobody will have access to it. That doesn't really work, guys, especially in a digital age now. And the thing that I found when I was out in Vegas, when I talked to a retired police officer from New York who was actually being an Uber driver who drove me around for a little bit, I asked him, I said, how has it affected Las Vegas by legalizing cannabis? You know, I mean, you live here, you're retired law enforcement, and he said, to be honest with you, it really hasn't changed much at all. He said, the people that want cannabis and smoke cannabis before can now just buy it legally and they get taxed on it. The people that were never interested in cannabis and still don't really care for cannabis still don't buy cannabis. He goes, nothing really changed at all. And so that's the thing that a lot of people don't understand. When you make this stuff even more of a black area, that it's like, oh, this stuff's out here, it's so bad, we have to make it a scheduled one. If you're even around it, you go to jail. If anything happens, you go to jail. It makes it more of a mystique item. So people a lot of times are like, okay, what's the deal with it? Well, then all of a sudden you legalize it and everybody goes, okay, well, that's obviously no big deal anymore. We can't protect our kids from this stuff anymore with the internet and all the other shady stuff that's going around. So the best thing you can do is monitor your kids on what they're doing on social media, monitor who they're hanging out with, and try to do the best you can to raise them up as good as possible, because this stuff's out there. It's out there and it's open now. There's no more putting this stuff back in the box. There's no more saying, we're just going to ban everything and make it illegal. We're going to make sure we incarcerate 50 million people now in the United States just so nobody can have access to this stuff, period. It doesn't work like that anymore, and that's the issue that we've seen with prohibition. That's what we've seen now, and now all we see is the pharmaceutical drug companies coming in and making sure this stuff and trying to make kratom illegal and everything else. It's on Facebook now, guys. That's even more of a reason to monitor your kids' social media activity and what they're doing, because in my opinion, a lot of the stuff that's on social media, the stuff that they're exposed to, the stuff that they're involved in, the stuff they see on the internet is going to be 9 times out of 10 more detrimental than them ever being exposed to any of this stuff in the real world once they're adults, because this is what they're trying to do now with these globalist ideas, with their ideology. They want to make it as easy as possible for the kids to be able to get access to this stuff, and how easier to put it on social media and Facebook now, Dad.
Absolutely right, Austin. Couldn't say any better. By the way, this is from the Daily Mail, just released. Tel Aviv is now trumping New York City to be named the world's best gay city. 25% of the people who live in Tel Aviv apparently now are practicing and admitted homosexuals. In the Israeli metropolis beats New York and Toronto in poll naming the best urban destinations for gay travelers. It landed a staggering 43% of the vote, way ahead of the runner-up New York's 14%, and third-place Toronto with 7%. San Paulo came in at with 6%. So I found that interesting now that 25%, supposedly, according to this one research article that was done, basically the residents of Tel Aviv are practicing and gay and basically homosexuals. Which brings me to my next story, speaking of gays, Lindsey Graham is basically to America. Now here's his little comment he's making. He's saying, Lindsey Graham's, you guys, you caught that segue, didn't you, Austin? Your country belongs, Lindsey Graham says, your country belongs to the world. He goes, American is not owned by American and their children, but is instead held by people all over the world, according to a statement from Amnesty advocate Senator Lindsey Graham. Quote, I've always believed that America is an idea which is not defined by its people but by its ideals, Graham said in a press statement January the 12th, which sought to criticize President Trump's for describing some foreign countries as less pleasant than America. So here we go, Lindsey Graham, who carries a purse, who's never been married, who has no girlfriend, need I go on, Austin, is now criticizing the United States, telling us that the country does not belong to the Americans, but belongs to the world. Now, when you look at cities, I'm going to stop for just a second. I'm going to defend one thing that he's saying here, because an Italian president said that a few years ago about Venice. You know, because Venice has been around for 500 years. And I've been to Venice several times, a beautiful city to visit. Try to go there in the spring or the fall, it doesn't smell as bad because of the sewage and stuff. But when you go to Venice, you realize very quickly that Venice is something that needs to be retained for the entire planet. It's a global city. I mean, it has huge amounts of people coming to visit all of the time, and it's something that cannot be replicated or replaced. To me, that global attitude that he has is true of that one tiny little geographic area, a few square miles of Venice. But the reality is this. It's not true with the United States, with its vast regions, vast population, and vast diversity. It does not belong to the world. The United States belongs to its people. The problem with people like Lindsey Graham, they're wanting to cut the United States up into little pieces and bring an unbridled amount of immigration to destroy the very fabric of our country, Austin. What do you think?
No, you're exactly right. I mean, there's so many factors to it. It's pretty crazy. Also, too, in other news, and one other thing while I was on this topic, I wanted to talk about this, too, as kind of a segue on prohibition and what they do now. Seattle now has decided to impose a 1.75 cent per ounce tax on all sugary beverages within the city, and hoping to raise a $15 million revenue stream at the same time, help people make better choices on drinks. The price of Gatorade pack at Costco in Seattle is usually $15.99. With the new tax, it is now currently $26.33. Now, the aspect of this that's so crazy is that they're saying they want people to make better decisions and drink less sugary drinks, but at the same time, they hope that this is going to basically raise $15 million in revenue stream. So they're kind of talking out of both sides of their mouth. As you guys know, I do not condone nor do I support soda use. I think it's unbelievably horrific on your bones, your teeth, your pancreas, everything. Don't like soda, don't drink it, period. However, this is an incredibly unjust tax, literally almost doubling the prices of cases of soda. What do you think about this, Dad? These guys trying to get away with this now, when obviously you can go to another city and buy it without the tax, but they're going in now and putting this tax on there is essentially a convenience tax to charge people more and more money unjustly, even though it's a product I don't like. What do you think this is all about? Do you think this is just a way to try to get more people accepting of being taxed heavily?
Well, you have to understand something. These cities are broke, at least on the books they're showing us. And even though tax revenue can't cover the bills, I know here locally, the ad for a local city that I live in basically says that they're willing, wanting to hire people starting at $15 to $25 to $40 an hour. I mean, I don't know how in the world the residents of that city that are playing, this is Auburndale, by the way, this is an ad they ran. I don't even understand how they can pay people $40 an hour and meet budget goals. Of course, they can just continue to raise taxes. It may have something to do with pushing the artificial sweetener thing. Maybe the artificial sweeteners aren't being taxed the same way. I don't know.
They're not. Now, that is one thing. The artificial sweeteners are not being taxed.
And then here's another thing. Artificial sweeteners now have been shown to cause a higher risk of stroke and dementia. This is so, so very important. You understand this. The rates of Alzheimer's disease, the sixth largest leading cause of death in the United States, are increasing by leaps and bounds. For example, the Alzheimer's Association recently reported that death rates from this disease increased by a stunning 89% in the years between 2000 and 2014. Unfortunately, the same unconventional health organizations ignore the direct negative impact that artificial sweeteners cause, including brain cancer, seizures, headaches, stroke, optic nerve damage, blindness, depression. This list goes on and on. Brain cancer. I mean, it's unbelievable that they're not taxing this artificial sweetener, which has been linked to all these other diseases. Guys, thank you so much for listening to the show today. I love you. I appreciate you so much. Thank you again for getting your vitamins from us. Thank you for getting your multiple vitamins from us. Thank you for getting your MCT oil from us and your protein powder from us and all the things that you do for us. Thank you for supporting the show. And thank you for just being here for us. I love you guys so much. I'm really happy that we're here with the New Year's with you. And we're just having a blast with all of this stuff. And you guys are part of our team and part of our family. I pray for you guys all of the time. I appreciate you so much. Austin, go ahead and close. I'll do the write-up. Love you guys. Talk to you tomorrow.
Yeah, absolutely, bud. Yeah, I find that interesting that Dad brought that up because he's right. I'm looking at his article. They're essentially indirectly trying to get people to switch to diet sodas. They are not being taxed. Diet sodas are not having this 1.75 cent tax per ounce on this stuff. Only sugar drinks such as regular soda, Gatorade, stuff like that. So what an agenda and what a way to try to push people over to the diet soda side. Quite interesting. But guys, we appreciate everything. Thank you for all the support and everything you continue to do for us. We get a lot of emails all the time, so I'm trying to stay on top of them as much as possible. So thank you. I appreciate everything you guys send us. If you guys need anything, check the website out at healthmasters.com. Also, to the HGH Stimulate Powder, the single cans right now are on sale for over 10% off as product of the week. And also, to be sure to check out the other products that are listed right now to be voted on for sale. Looks like the Ultimate Multiple Powder and also the Ultimate Multiple Capsules are pulling pretty strong right now. So be sure to go on there and vote which one you want, and that way it'll be on sale starting on Wednesday for you guys, whichever one wins. So thank you so much, guys. If you need anything, give us a call, 1-800-726-1834. We're always here and happy to try and help you guys out with your nutritional needs as much as we physically can. You guys have a blessed, safe, amazing, awesome Monday, and we'll talk to you tomorrow again, as always.